भगवते वासुदेवाय
scientifically,
Vishesha,
particularly,
Veer Yavan,
being
strengthened
in
Bhakti Yoga,
Yat,
whose
Angri,
lotus feet,
Mule,
at the root of
Kritiketana,
taking shelter.
Punaha,
again,
no,
never,
Samshitim,
material system,
pleasure,
full of miserable conditions.
Full of miserable conditions.
The Pajite
takes
two. Translation of Shilpa. When a devotee takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is completely cleansed of all misunderstanding, mental speculation, and he manifests renunciation. This is possible only when one is strengthened by practicing Bhakti Yoga. Once having taken shelter at the root of the lotus feet of the Lord, a devotee never comes back to this material existence, which is full of threefold miseries. This continuation of this wonderful subject is the effects of taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord. As stated by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshashtra instructions, by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Or, by the process of hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord, one's mind is gradually cleansed of all dirt due to our material association. Since time immemorial, we have accumulated heaps of dirty things in our minds. The total effect of this takes place when a living entity identifies himself with his body and is thus entrapped by the stringent laws of material nature and put into the cycle of repeated birth and death under the false impression of bodily identification. When one is strengthened by practicing Bhakti Yoga, his mind is cleansed of this misunderstanding, and he is no longer interested in material existence or in sense gratification. Bhakti, or devotional service, is characterized by vairagya and jnana. Jnana refers to understanding that one is not his body, and vairagya means disinterest in sense gratification. These two primary principles of separation from material bondage can be realized on the strength of Bhakti Yoga. Thus, when a devotee is fixed in the loving service of the lotus feet of the Lord, he will never come back to this material existence after quitting his body, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself. There's a few verses like that, aren't there? In Bhagavad Gita. Do you know one? Who said that? Who said that? That'd be at the back there. Dhruva? Yeah, that's a good one, isn't it? And there's a few verses. Chaktvade ham punarjanma naiti mameti so arjuna. The one who understands the transcendental nature of Krishna, his appearance, his activities, never comes back to this material world, but attains to the spiritual realm. The result, if you want to come back to this material world, be careful. In this verse, the word vijnana is specifically important. Jnana, the knowledge of spiritual identity, that one attains when he does not consider himself to be the body is explained in Bhagavad Gita as Brahma Bhuta, the revival of spiritual realization. In the conditioned state of material existence, one cannot be spiritually realized because he identifies himself materially. Maybe we have some theory that we can't be realized. Theory is not enough. One has to realize the subject matter. The understanding of the distinction between material existence and spiritual existence is called jnana. After coming to the flat platform of jnana, or the Brahma Bhuta stage, one ultimately comes to devotional service, in which he completely understands his own position and the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is explained here as vijnana vishesha. The Lord says, therefore, that knowledge of Him is vijnana, science. In other words, when one is strengthened by scientific knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his position of liberation is guaranteed. In Bhagavad Gita 9.2, who knows this verse? Where is that coming? You're saying this one? Bhagamam. Pachiksha Bhagamam Dharmyam.
Susukapatamavyayam.
Meaning?
This knowledge is the most secret of all secrets. It's the king of all education. It is the perfection of religion because it is better perception of the self by realization. And it is a directly performed.
More or less. Give or take a few words. Purification. 9.2. The science of devotional service is described as Pachakshavanamandarmyam, direct understanding of the principles of religion by realization. By practicing Bhakti Yoga, one can directly perceive his advancement in spiritual life. In other practices like Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Dhyana Yoga, one may not be confident about his progress. But in Bhakti Yoga, one can become directly aware of his progress in spiritual life. This is a person who eats can understand that his hunger is satisfied. Our false appetite for enjoyment and lordship in the material world is due to a prominence of passion and ignorance. By Bhakti Yoga, these two qualities are diminished and one becomes situated in the mode of goodness. Gradually surpassing the mode of goodness, one is situated in pure goodness, which is not contaminated by the material qualities. When thus situated, a devotee no longer has any doubts. He knows that he will not come back to this material world. That's the end of the purport. I don't know if any of you could relate the last question, the last paragraph, the last two paragraphs, the whole purport, especially the last paragraph, to a section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, specifically. As we're discussing here, the taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and how we become cleansed of all unwanted desires by taking shelter of all misconceptions, by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. There's a very nice section of Srimad Bhagavatam, and in relationship to the lotus feet is generally understood, you know, the first couple of cantos are the lotus feet of the Lord, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And Prabhupada has even described that one should read beyond these cantos unless one is free from mundane sense violence and sex desire. Of course we do, but in one sense we won't be able to enter into the subject matter or meditate on the rest of the form of the Lord as long as we're attached the idea of enjoying material forms. Can somebody bring the first canto Bhagavatam, please? A very beautiful section in the first canto Srimad Bhagavatam. by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. We could ask the question before we read, does anyone like to suggest what it means to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord? We discussed some aspects yesterday, and maybe we touched on it, but not very much. Does anyone like to suggest something? What you understand, what it means to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord?
We discussed yesterday the following orders from Spiritual Master.
Pardon?
Yesterday we discussed
taking shelter
of the Spiritual Master's orders.
Oh, yes, that's a nice quote, isn't it? And if we sing in the morning, we probably do, in the morning, in the song book, you can find a song where you sing Guru Puja. What do we sing? Pardon?
Guru
Mukha Padma Bhakti Chitite Kuru Aikya. Guru Mukha. Can somebody bring the song book? We have one couple of others. Let's read it. Well, we just said it. The lotus feet of the spiritual master of the Ardi Shri Guru Charana Padam. What are they? Kilvala Bhakti Sadma. The only way? The only way wrong. To attain pure devotion. Thank you. To attain pure devotion of service. Shri Guru Charana Padam. Next verse. Shri Guru Charana Padma. Teachings from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master one with your heart, and do not desire anything else. Attachment to the lotus feet of the spiritual master is the best means of spiritual advancement. By his mercy, all desires for spiritual perfection are fulfilled. He who has given me the gift of transcendental vision is my Lord birth after birth. By his mercy, divine knowledge is revealed within the heart, bestowing prema bhakti and destroying ignorance. The Vedic scriptures sing of his character. O spiritual master, ocean of mercy, friend of the fallen souls, you are the teacher of everyone and the life of all people. O master, be merciful unto me and give me the shade of your lotus feet. May your glorious name be proclaimed throughout the three worlds. Slightly different translation, same essential meaning. Taking shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. That's one point. What's another aspect of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord?
Surrendering your duty to Krishna.
We could include everything, really. Usually after the process of hearing, chanting and remembering, naturally the process of taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna as our only shelter. And there's a verse in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam spoken by Lord Brahma. There are several verses, and I can't remember. Samasu tiye padapalava plavam mahat padam punya yasho marari vivam vidir vatsa param 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 yati padam tiyesham. That this material world is a very, very dangerous place at every step. We discussed a little of that yesterday, same, we're carrying on the same vein, that we sometimes forget this material world is a dangerous place in one sense. We will see it differently. But dangerous in the sense we forget Krishna. We can get carried away in the ways of the material world. So this verse describes how at every step there is danger, and we can be carried away any moment, except for those who take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And Prabhupada describes how those lotus feet are like a boat, a safe boat, which can carry us across the ocean of material existence. Why is likened to a boat? It's a very relevant example, because a boat is above the water. It appears to be on the water, but it's not in the water exactly. It's floating on the water. For the lotus feet of the Lord, or the lotus feet of the spiritual master, we could say to be more, closer to where we are, they're available. They are the boat which can carry us across this ocean of material existence. Otherwise we're going to most likely drown in this ocean of material existence. We're taking shelter of that boat, of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And we discussed a lot about that yesterday, what the effects of that are on various statements and so on and so forth. Because the lotus feet of the Lord are transcendental. They appear to be in this world. Jesus Christ himself said, we're of this world, but not in it. Excuse me, we're in this world, but not of it. Same thing. The pure devotee appears to be in this world, but he's not of this world. He's of the spiritual world. He's coming in this world to give us shelter, to give us that boat. So taking shelter of the spiritual master literally means taking shelter of the instructions of the spiritual master. The opportunity is mentioned here. This is how bhakti yoga is possible to practice in the pure sense of the term, as we just heard from Mahuta Basanatmana Sochati and Kamshati. One has to be on the spiritual platform to practice bhakti yoga. But by the mercy of the pure devotees of the Lord, they give us a chance, through their grace, to engage in activities which purify us. Even though we may not be on the Brahma Bhuta platform, they give us an opportunity to engage in all kinds of different services. It's the value of the association of the pure devotees. And they engage us in all sorts of activities, which are basically taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, paying obeisances, circumambulating a Tulsi Devi, visiting holy places, taking charanamrita, parikrama, so many things are there. And practical terminology also. But normally we think it means the humility of taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. I'm going to read something a little bit here, if you bear with us. This is very nice. This is by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he says here, those who are fully absorbed in Lord Krishna and carefully serve his lotus feet, it means being in a humble state of mind, rendering our service. When we hear really properly the topics of the holy name of Krishna, and we hear Krishna Katha, it evokes a feeling of a complete humility, dependence, and helplessness, a feeling of we have no other shelter other than the holy name, the lotus feet of Krishna. So those who are fully absorbed in Lord Krishna and carefully serve his lotus feet, the same thing was mentioned here, carefully, with care and attention, day and night cross beyond the dark ocean of ignorance and obtain the most auspicious abode of the Lord, which is rare even for the great sages to achieve. Those who serve the lotus feet of Sri Krishna with full attention never again become absorbed in the ocean of material existence. They are never defeated by the threefold miseries, and they conquer the five kinds of distresses. What are the five kinds of distresses? We hear three kinds of distresses, four kinds of distresses. Five. Knowledge of the absolute truth automatically manifests in their hearts. The lotus feet of Sri Krishna are served by those who are always steady, grave, tolerant, and devoid of pride in their own bodies. Then he goes in to describe in more detail the details of serving the lotus feet, particularly in the sense of deity worship of the Lord. There's so many aspects of deity worship, which are so much. And then just like now, when we always look, Queen Kunti, when she was approaching the Lord, isn't it? She meditated first on the Lord's lotus feet, then gradually up like that. It's just the humility. We start at that point. We don't jump to the top. Bhagavatam is the same as we heard just now, first two cantos, Srimad Bhagavatam. We start at the lotus feet. We don't jump to the beautiful smiling face of the Lord. We take shelter of the lotus feet. Very important. And now we take shelter of the lotus feet. We can now read that section which we mentioned without explaining which one it was. But this is in the first canto of the Bhagavatam. And this is the second chapter, which more or less contains, in a nutshell, the essential features of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and the effects of taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. And it's, if we're going to study, learn verses from Srimad Bhagavatam, this second chapter, I remember when we were on traveling Sankirtan in 1972 in England, and we had an amazing Sankirtan party traveling around England doing book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan, university preaching, prasadam distribution, Sunday feast program. We had it all on our traveling Sankirtan party. It was really exciting. And every morning we would learn a verse from this second chapter of the first canto. And it starts off because, we can't just jump into it. There's a process of taking shelter of the lotus feet. A process herein is literally manifesting here in the Bhagavatam through Sutta Goswami, that he offering his respectful obeisances unto that great sage, unto the sources of his inspiration. He's offering his obeisances, taking shelter. He knows, on my own, I have no eligibility or no empowerment. It's all by the mercy of my spiritual master, spiritual masters, taking shelter of them. Is the secret. Even the sages of Naimasharanya, if you see in the first chapter, it'll be text 15, I think. First chapter, let's see. We didn't mention, I was looking for that verse yesterday, I couldn't remember it. And then it occurred, here it is. This is text 15. Yat pada sanshayak sutta munayak pasamayanaha satyapunan chapaspishta. O Sutta, these are the sages of Naimasharanya. They are humbly approaching Sutta Goswami. This is taking shelter. Please give me shelter. Please deliver me from this material. We're in ignorance. We don't know what the goal of life is. This is the humility. I don't know. This is Sanatana Goswami approaching Lord Chaitanya. They call me a learned sage. I don't know. I don't know who I am. I'm a fool. Please, please, enlighten me. I take shelter with a straw in the mouth. He fell down at the lotus feet of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the water of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. That's what we were referring to yesterday. Here's the actual verse. We went to another verse similar. But this verse is so wonderful. Verse. Pure devotees of the Lord are more powerful than the water of the Ganges. One can derive spiritual benefit out of prolonged use of the Ganges water. but one can be sanctified at once by the mercy of a pure devotee of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita it is said that any person, regardless of birth, whether Shudra, woman, merchant, whatever, can take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and by so doing can return home back to Godhead. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. The pure devotees whose only business is serving are honored by the name Prabhupada and Vishnupada, which indicates such devotees to be representatives of the lotus feet of the Lord. Anyone, therefore, who takes shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee by accepting the pure devotee as his spiritual master can be at once purified. Such devotees of the Lord are honored equally with the Lord because they are engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord. And Guru Vashtaka also said, for they deliver out of the material world the fallen souls whom the Lord wants to return home back to Godhead. Such pure devotees are better known as vice lords according to revealed scripture. The sincere disciple of the pure devotee considers the spiritual master equal to the Lord, but always considers himself to be a humble servant of the Lord. This is the pure devotional path. So that's the approach to actually get realization. Knowledge comes from the spiritual master, but the realization is by his grace. So we're going to read now some of those instructions. First of all, Suta Goswami is answering now these inquiries, the inquisitive sages of Naimisharanya. He's now answering them. And he starts off by offering his obeisances to Sukadeva Goswami. Then he offers his obeisances to the spiritual masters, the son, and so on, all great person, even to Saraswati. So many offering obeisances, that's in the first canto. So he's offering his obeisances here to Maud. Then he offers Narayana Rishi, Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Shri Vyasadeva, and so on. Before he begins, very humbly, this is the empowerment comes when we have humility. Lord, that even if we know the verses, we know the knowledge theoretically, the effect will not be there, the purity will not be there. The purity is the total surrender at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, pure devotees. So we become purified by taking shelter of them. So then he explains these wonderful verses here. Are explained. First of all, O sages, I have been justly questioned by you. Your questions are worthy because they relate to Lord Krishna and so are of relevance to the world's welfare. Only questions of this sort are capable of completely satisfying the self. Now we get into the subject matter. These are the answers. The supreme occupation, dharma. I think, remember, it was mentioned the other day, this word dharma. And different people maybe interpret or understand it differently. But here it's the supreme occupation, our eternal sanatana dharma. For all humanity is that by which men can attain to loving devotional service unto the transcendent Lord. Such devotional service must be? Sorry? Unmotivated and uninterrupted to? Somebody else?
Fully satisfy the self.
Completely satisfy the self. Completely. There's only partial satisfaction in the material world. It's flickering, terribly flickering. And even in spiritual life, it's like, something's there. But it's partial. We're not unmotivated, uninterrupted. By associating with someone who's taken shelter of those infallible lotus feet of the Lord, then we can also develop this unflinching devotional service. In the next verse, by rendering devotional service unto the personality of God, this is very related to today's purport. This is a famous verse. They're all famous. Everyone. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha. By rendering devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires, what does he acquire? oh, Mother Ramana, you know, others, give the others a chance. You know, give a chance. Janyat yasu varagyam gyancha yat right to come. That was today's in purple. That by taking from Dikshat or devotional service, one becomes bhakti and renunciation and knowledge automatically comes. One immediately acquires causeless knowledge. Causeless, it's not caused by material things. It's mercy of Krishna. He gives the real knowledge. Real knowledge. Vijnana is one thing, Vijnana is another. Krishna gives that Vijnana, as we heard in the purport. And knowledge and detachment. Because why? Well, how do we become detached from this world? Do we have to make a separate endeavor, realizing it's the source of misery? Is that the process? What do you think?
No.
Don't realize it.
No, it's by rendering service.
Pardon?
The knowledge and detachment are gained by rendering service to the Lord.
That's what it states here in the verse, basically. But what is a devotee's process? Is it like an artificial endeavor? Not artificial, maybe with some knowledge that's material. What is the source of suffering? Yeah, he's some partial boga, duty or any of it. Is the source of suffering? Do we therefore say, it's like, you know, fighting against the material energy, trying to analyze it all. Is that our process?
The higher taste of the lotus feet.
That's the idea, isn't it? That we're absorbed. It's higher taste indeed, but the absorption, becoming absorbed in devotional service, absorbed in hearing and chanting about Krishna, absorbed in our service, and so on. Different aspects which the Lord is giving us, ways we can become absorbed, even in pastimes. Prabhupada said, Krishna performs so many wonderful pastimes. Why? Of course, it's for his pleasure, but why does he reveal them in the material world? What for?
To attract the souls.
Pardon?
To attract.
To attract, okay, it's good. Yes. There's maybe many answers, though. I'm just thinking of one. Father said, so we have something to think about. There's so much to think about, isn't it? So many pastimes. Philosophy, pastimes, Bhagavatam, so many Chaitanya, Charitamrita. So many things. So many pastimes. So many there. Great devotees have written so many books. And Prabhupada says, so we have something to think about. Otherwise, what are we going to think about? What are you going to think about? Maybe better not say what you're going to think about. Better we think about Krishna. Somehow or another, related to Krishna. The whole idea of this process is so that we become, you know, we start to think about Krishna. We start to remember it in different ways. It may be focusing on our practical service. It's another form of the lotus feet of the Lord. Come again, take shelter of the lotus feet, that boat, get on board, don't jump overboard, be absorbed in what we're doing on board the boat. You won't be so distracted by what's going on outside. You know, you see people on their computers sometimes, right? Maybe even ourselves. So absorbed. You know, anything could be going on. You know, whatever. And if eventually you distract their attention, where am I? What's going on? They've been so absorbed in subject matter that, well, this is whatever it is. So absorbed. You know, materially. Well, spiritually, we have to also become absorbed in that service. That's taking shelter. Lotus feet of the Lord. This is it. And it comes. Back to devotional service. So automatically one becomes detached, because if we're attached if your cup is full of one thing, there's no room for the other thing. We're holding it, we're holding on. To Krishna consciousness, there's no room. No room for material absorption, material engagement. To become fully engaged. It may take a little while, but that's the idea. And knowledge, revealed knowledge. It's automatically, this is the highest knowledge. As Raja Vijay, it was true. devotee is quoting Vajavidyavajaguyam, Abhijangilimuktamam. It's the king of all knowledge. This devotional service is the fruit. The purpose of knowledge is to understand Krishna. And that's revealed through how? Bhaktimam Abhijanati. Through devotional service. It's a revelation. Of course, there's knowledge. The process of devotional service is certainly not devoid of knowledge, but that knowledge is a limit of devotional service. So much knowledge is there in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't need to make a separate endeavor trying to analyze this thing and that thing. You can do that in a nature in regards to bhakti, but you don't need to do it separately. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much, you know, pardon? Useless labor if they do not attraction for the message of the personality of God. That's very interesting. I just love to read this. It's one of my favorite things. Excuse me, I'm just trying to wake myself up here. Prabhupada describes here. How will they understand, Prabhupada saying, when he arrived in New York, in Boston rather, in his Markaneya Bhagavatam, preaching Krishna consciousness in America, we can see the actual success of our movement in this particular poem of Srila Prabhupada, because he's humbly, with all humility at his command, he's taking shelter at the lotus feet of his spiritual master, Krishna. I'll just delete a few verses. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service, O Lord? I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. Many different ways of looking at that. We may have our desire, but for the fulfillment of our desire, we depend wholly and solely on the mercy of Krishna. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. If you so desire. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. And Prabhupada quotes these verses, which we just mentioned. He will become liberated from the influence of the mode of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Is understanding the message, Prabhupada is emphasizing here. So it's so much useless labor if it doesn't provoke an attraction for the message, and even our own devotional service. Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj says that sadhana means that which helps us to attract, develop an attraction for the messages of the personality of Godhead, or for chanting holy name, form, pastimes of the Lord. And if our activities do not help us to develop an attraction, he says, they're an obstacle in the path of bhakti. The whole purpose of this movement is based around this principle, to develop an attraction the personality of God, for hearing and chanting about the personality of God. Next verse. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for. What are they meant for? All occupational engagements are certainly meant for economic development, sense gratification. What are they meant? Yeah, that's correct. But what does it say in the Bhagavatam? You've got the Bhagavatam in front of you. Right? Anybody else? They are meant for ultimate liberation. Not just liberation, ultimate. What's the ultimate liberation? To be situated in one's eternal constitutional position, isn't it? As we just heard here, as a servant of the servant of the Lord. Gopi Bhattapada Kamalam Dasa 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 Dasa. ultimate occupation. Occupational engagement should never be performed for? Pardon? You can say that? What does it say in the Bhagavatam? Material gain. Very good. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain for cultivating sense gratification. It's the same thing. I remember the mention of the economic development, sense gratification, like that. We tend to do that, don't we? We do our duty. Maybe it's according to religious principles, but it's to get economic returns. And then we use it for sense gratification, isn't it? You get some money, you're thinking, how can I enjoy now? Let me go down to the city and see what I can buy, something for my pleasure. Go on holiday, let me look, see Hawaii, everywhere. Life's desires, this is another more famous verse, life's desires should never be directed toward sense gratification. They should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or what was he saying? Something like that. Pardon? Prasadam. Very good answer. Somebody gave a very good answer there. One should develop a healthy life and prasadam. Simple life. Healthy life. Self-preservation. In other words, maintain, probably say, body, mind, and soul. You know, maintain, not more than required, which is required. Since a human being is meant for sense gratification, human being is meant for meant for inquiry in about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's work. Everything should be directed for that purpose, to inquire about the absolute truth. But all our energy, if at all going into the realm of so-called knowledge, is inquiry about the
relative truth,
isn't it? Literally, our relatives, the material world, that which is related to us in our present condition. Whereas the pure devotees are trying to give us an opportunity to connect or to understand or to enter into the absolute realm. So there's a nice verse. Learned transcendentalists who know the absolute truth call this non-dual substance. What do they call it? Brahman. Step one. Paramatma, step two. And Bhagavan, step three. It's not one, two, it's one, it's all three. Learned transcendentalists know all three. They don't just stick at one. They know all three. Now here's a very relevant verse to today's purport. The seriously inquisitive sage, the same word, jnana varagya yuktaya, I mentioned. The seriously inquisitive student or sage, well equipped with knowledge and detachment, realizes that absolute truth by rendering devotional service in terms of what he has heard from the Vedanta Shruti. What a heavy kind of verse. Many things contained in it, so to speak. But the realization of the Vedas, realized given by Krishna ultimately, but by taking shelter of devotional service, he has knowledge, detachment because he's engaged in devotional service. He has knowledge that this material world is not our real base, real home, that we're not this material body, that the goal of life is not sense gratification. He's very inquisitive now to find out what more? So he's taking shelter of devotional service, which means taking shelter of the pure devotees, and that realization of the absolute truth. I mean, he hears the realization, the process of realization, I would emphasize it is through the process of hearing attentively. Attentive hearing, Prabhupada describes, third chapter of this book, Bhagavatam, that one can realize Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The next verse. O best among the twice-born, it is therefore concluded that the highest perfection one can achieve by discharging the duties prescribed for one's own occupation according to caste divisions and orders of life is to? What is the highest perfection one can achieve by following Varnashram?
make Krishna happy.
Yes, Samsidhir Hari Toshnam. Please the personality of Godhead. That's the highest perfection. It's not about pleasing ourselves, pleasing our community. That may be there, that's automatically a secondary thing, but the highest perfection is to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, next question. Now, Śrīla Gosvāmī is now giving you, say, the methodology. Therefore, with somebody else besides Dhruva, please. Somebody else. Therefore, with what? One pointed attention. With one pointed attention, one should. Should what? Pardon? One should constantly
hear about.
Yes. Glorify. Yes. What else? Huh? Are you getting a clue from that from your friend there? Huh? Besides Dhruva Prabhu, you have to keep quiet. Hear about, glorify,
worship,
but what before worship?
Remember.
Now that's interesting, it's the same vein that we just heard, hearing, chanting, remembering, and worshipping the lotus feet. They go 1, 2, 3, 4 like that. Same things mentioned here. Hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the personality of Godhead. Who is the? What is he? I mean, you could say millions of things, couldn't you? But in this verse, what does it say?
Benefactor.
Pardon? Benefactor. That's really good. It's correct. It's not what it says here, though.
Protector.
Is that what it says on your mobile phone, is it?
Yes.
Protector of the devotees. Now, mobile phone knows it all. Google's also very good. You can Google Guru. Knows everything. Google Goswami. the next verse. With something in hand. What in hand? Japa beads? With japa beads in hand. Don't necessarily take this literally. What does it say? With? Pardon? You could say knowledge. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says armed with yoga. Stand and fight. But what does it say here? With in hand, sword in hand. So you all have to get swords now. Everyone has to get a sword. You have to approach your temple commander and ask for please give me a sword. With sword in hand, it says it in the Bhagavatam. It's a fact, right? Right there in the Bhagavatam, with sword in hand. Intelligent men cut through. What do they cut through? They cut through what? They cut through the butter? No, they cut through. What do they cut through? Other than Dhruva. They cut through? Ignorance? You're not, yes, correct in one sense. But specifically it says here, they cut through. No, it's differently worded in different editions. But here it's nice, easy to understand. They cut through the. In the material world, we're all tied up, we're all bound up, right? That's the understanding. The gunas, we're in the gunas. So intelligent men with sword in hand cut through the binding knots of reactionary work, karma. They cut that knot. And how do they do it?
With knowledge.
Huh?
Knowledge.
Knowledge, you could say, but here it's mentioned. It's nice to remember these verses. I'm giving you a clue there. Well, I just said it, remembering. By remembering the personality of Godhead. This is the method. Remembering Krishna, it cuts the knot. This is the sword in hand. This is the yoga. This is the bhakti. Remembering Krishna, it cuts the knot. Therefore, who will not? Who will not what? Who will not? Pay? Who will not pay?
Attention.
Pay who?
Pay attention.
Pay the pujari? Who will not pay the pujari? Who will not pay the temple press? Who will not pay me? And who will not pay what?
Attention.
Attention! Who will not pay attention to?
Message.
The messages of Godhead, to His message, Krishna's message. Who will not pay attention? You have to be a fool not to pay attention. We're all fools, maybe. Later on said that we're killers of the self, or never in touch with. We're not attracted to this message because we're attracted to other things. Oh, twice born sages. Now we're getting into it. Oh, twice born sages, by serving. Serving who? Pardon? You may be right, I didn't hear it. Huh?
I saw the Supreme Personality of God.
Ultimately, but that's not. We're not at that stage. We're conditioned souls. We're trying to get out of the binding knots of material reaction. Where by serving those, by serving those, Sushushoshita Danisha Vasudeva Katara Shishyam Mahat Seva Avi Prapunya Tirtana Shavana, by serving those, who? Pardon? Serving who? I say?
Detachment?
Yeah, that's true. But by serving those, what are we going to serve? Who are we going to serve? What do you serve?
Servants of the Supreme Personality.
Yeah, but we're not at that stage. That's what already mentioned. That's a very big jump. Yeah, like that. But serving those devotees, by serving those devotees who are completely, completely free from all vice. They have no, they're nivritta tarshir. They're free of all material affection. They're pure. They've taken firm shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. By serving them, what happens? Great service is done. This is the greatest service. By such service, one, what happens? Very nice. So none of you have done Bhakti Shastriya, I assume. This is one of the most important verses in the whole Bhagavatam. One gains affinity for hearing what? The messages of the Personality of Godhead. This is the secret. By serving the pure devotees, those who are freed of all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of the Personality of Godhead. This is all by the mercy of Krishna. As long as we are covered, our heart is covered with other desires, with material goals, and so on and so forth, we cannot develop this attraction. So the mercy of Krishna is He cleanses our heart, He takes us away. Taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means we're taking shelter of the instructions of the spiritual master, and we're putting them into practice in our lives. It's not just about knowing what they are, it's executing those instructions. That's what cleanses our hearts. As we'll see, Sri Krishna, another famous verse, the Personality of God, who is paramatma in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, one who's honest, one who's, you know, taking his rightful position and humility. Krishna cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee. He cleanses that desire for one who has developed the urge to hear his messages. So at different stages, in the beginning, it may be, we see that immediately we're absorbed in service, we stop doing this, that, and the other. So in that sense, we become cleansed and we're able to engage in service because we're not engaged in nonsense activity. However, the proclivity or the tendency for material enjoyment is still there. It hasn't been removed at the root. One has to get to the root. So the root is removed when we develop. After serving the pure devotee, and some anarthas are removed so that we can engage in attending Bhagavatam class, reading the books and so on. But still we see there is a tendency within our heart to see ourselves in the center, to enjoy the material. But this, when we actually start to develop a real taste for hearing and chanting more and more, that taste, then Krishna then removes the desires for material enjoyment from our heart. Someone who's developed an urge to live and be a little spontaneous in our attraction. It's time to hear the Bhagavatam, it's time for class. And usually we look and think, is there anything else I can do besides go to Srimad Bhagavatam class? Japa, well, I can do that later. Maybe there's something else I need to do now. Oh, reading the books, I've read them already. Let me think of something else to do. But one who's developed this urge will hear it again and again. As we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya, he wants to hear it over and over and over again. The same thing, his hearers are standing on end. He's being exhilarated at every moment, hearing the topics concerning the personality of God is spoken by him. Who has developed this urge, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Those people will miss the point. They have to be properly heard. And now the practical thing, and directly related to the last purport, by regular attendance in classes, it doesn't always say that, it says by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, but sometimes it here it says classes on the Bhagavatam, but we think it said hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost. So hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and rendering service to the pure devotees, these two things especially, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. Because we're still in contact with the material, there will always be some fine trace. That depends on the ultimate mercy of the Lord to remove that. And loving service unto the personality of God, in whose praise with transcendental songs is established as an irrevocable fact. It means it can't go backwards. You don't go backwards again. It's irrevocable. When something's irrevocable, you can't take it back, right? It's it. It's finished. It's too late. Can't go back. So when it comes to this point, one cannot go back, as today's verse said. One will not come back to this material world. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as
lust,
desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. That's exactly what was today's purport was saying. Thus established in a mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge. And exactly the same word probably is mentioned here, vijnana, in the verse, means scientific knowledge. This is the real scientific knowledge, not the relative scientific knowledge of the mundane world, but scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead. The man whose mind has been enlightened when contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Last verse we're going to read here, I think maybe two more. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces with that sword of knowledge. Cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive action is terminated when one sees the self as master, and that can be taken to see the Supreme Lord or even the living entity as being superior or above this material world of birth and death, this relative world. The soul is above. We're supposed to be the master, not be under the control of it. Certainly, therefore, since time immemorial, all transcendentalists have been rendering devotional service to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, with great delight, because such devotional service is enlivening to the self. And it goes on. Wonderful verses. And you can also read Queen Kunti's wonderful prayers about taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So nice. Verses in the seventh. What chapter is that? Queen Kunti's prayers?
Eighth chapter.
Read chapter 8 of the first canto and enter into this mood of humility and sincerity and taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. We were discussing yesterday when we sometimes realize we're in distress, we take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. God save me. Oh, my Lord, please help me. I've been trying everything I can to do it without you, but I've not made it. Please help me. I lost everything. And sometimes when we're in distress, we take shelter. So keep praying for these situations also. I mean, we've got time to discuss it. Although if we read those verses too. Beautiful verses of Queen Kunti. How to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Any questions? Any questions or comments?
Maharaj, when we go on Parinam with student books, how is that taking shelter of the Lord's feet?
Well, it can be on many levels, I would say. First of all, if you're going out there just doing books on Parinam, you're probably going out because you've received some direction at some point of time to do it. Probably. It doesn't usually happen by chance. Sometimes a person's on the street unknowingly. They engage. We had one man in, he was a I don't know what you call them here, bums, street vagrant, crazy guy, whatever, I don't know, he was on the street bumping everyone up for money. And he came up to one of our devotees and said, hey man, hey, give me some money, come on. He could saw the devotee was collecting money on Sankirtan. Give us some money. He said, and the devotee said, well, I don't really have any. But he said, but if you tell it, take these books and sell the books, then we'll see. So that this crazy guy started, he started helping us sell books. You know, he would actually stopping people, hey, buy this book here, give me some money, buy this book. So, I mean, he gave money to the boy, and then the boy gave him something or another. You know, he unknowingly he was engaged, he had no idea, but generally the boys are going out just doing books all going on, Harinam Sankirtan, because they're receiving some instruction, which is coming from the lotus feet of the Lord. Instructions coming from those feet. Now, that's on one level, even if we're not conscious. On another level, we may be conscious that this service, devotional service, of distributing books, or chanting the holy names of Krishna, it's not just something we do, full stop. We just have like kind of a relative relationship. It depends on our consciousness. When a devotee is distributing books, he's constantly taking shelter of Krishna. He's not just trying to find ways of distributing books. That's indirectly also, but it actually taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna as an instrument. You know, Prabhupada, this we just saw. Now, do what you want with me. I take complete shelter with you. I am an instrument. If you want this message to be understandable, make my words suitable. The word is taking shelter like that. It's a great opportunity because you're challenged. It's difficult. On Harinam Sankirtan, you know, you were taking shelter of the holy name just for trying to hear the sound of the holy name. Trying to, you know, chant with all our life, our heart and soul, trying to chant the holy name. So it's also taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's a stage of consciousness, which may be a little higher. So different levels that may be, you know, may be seen that one's taking shelter of the lotus feet. Anything else?
Yes. We read the verse about unmotivated emotional service. But over a period of practicing, motivation is trying to
come in
and we tend to prove ourselves that we can do it, prove it to others.
Yeah, and artists in the path of devotional service are very much, they're also described as initial and artists, which we're already, our baggage, which we're aware of, which we bring with us, which may be quickly, removed or reduced. But then there are anartas which may crop up in the practice of devotion. So that was described here, that one has to, you know, this attraction, this intense hearing and chanting the messages of the personality of God, it removes those tendencies for these pride and other aspects of which may manifest. They're already there, but in the process of devotional service, they may come up. In the name of devotional service, these weeds may crop, they may look just like devotional service. So intensive hearing and chanting about the message of the personality of Godhead from the right source, properly heard and chanted, can remove these vestiges or these tendencies to become very proud or whatever it may be, which may manifest in offensive behavior and critical behavior and fault finding and so many different things in the practice of devotional service, and ultimately desires for sense gratification will come in. Very dangerous. So we have to carefully, especially when we're in a position of responsibility, not ignore the importance of hearing and chanting of the message of the personality of Godhead from the right source to help us to root out the root. Vādhārāda nūdhināṁ, as Rūpa Goswami says, root to the, cut out right down to the root all these tendencies for material sense gratification, whether they're gross or subtle. The subtle ones that take more fire to get rid of. You've got to turn the fire up more. You can't just keep going plodding on with the same temperature. It may melt, you know, if you have like a certain temperature, it may melt ice. But if you're trying to melt iron, you're going to have a higher temperature. It's much harder. So the subtle ones are much harder in one sense. They're much harder, and it requires a Kachik Kevalaya Bhakta Vasudeva Prana Agandan Bhansi Karsni Nihara Mudabhaskarata. It has to be very, very intense to get rid of all the agas right down to the root. Cut it out right down to the root. Remove it entirely by that. And these verses are explained by constantly. The word is regularly, the actual word is always. Always, Nitya. Always. It's not just regularly, it's always. One has to become always in that mood. Those who are fully absorbed, 10% in hearing and chanting that message, we have to hear from them and associate with them. Of course, there's a service to do, that's also the same vein, but to be fully engaged, definitely we have to hear the message of the personality of God. And pray, we have to be willing to change. The willingness has to be there on our part to make that change. Therefore, the truthful devotee, not one who's duplicitous. If we're duplicitous, we're going ahead and people who may not be so mature, they may think, oh, well, he's doing very nice, he's doing great. But the motivation may be with false ego, pride, and so on, so that isn't so great. And it has to be eradicated. The truthful devotee wants that to change. He regrets, he repents. He's very unhappy and very regretful that one has this mentality or this feelings towards other devotees, etc., etc. Feelings towards myself of being proud, what have you. It's a very dangerous platform. Putting yourself in the center. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Bhattarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna.